This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Monday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, coming to you from the patio studios, as always, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere, whether it be pre- or post-game. Patios is the name you should remember. It's where it all started for me, for sure, when the legal drinking age, of course, entered my life. But actually, I'm showing my age, as I was plenty old enough to go there when they first opened. That being said, it's a great place, great time, great place to meet fans both before and after the game, and we do appreciate their continued support. Looking forward to all of our continued efforts with Patios as well, and happy to do it. You know, I can't thank Randy Green enough either. Reaching out to him. My man Benji Molina is going to be in town here for a couple of weeks, hoping to spend some time with Randy Green. Maybe we'll head on over to Adam's Smokehouse and spend some time with one of the true great people you're ever going to meet. InnovativeCompanies.com, the name you know and trust when it comes to residential, commercial, and industrial work. He's got his construction team, heating and cooling, and electric team fired up and ready to help you. Again, just a man that's been doing it for a long, long time, second-generation craftsman, and somebody you can trust. A handshake and his word is all you need. That's Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Well, you heard me mention that my co-host and partner in crime is going to be in town here for a couple weeks. And let me tell you, it's a rat race right now for sure, and the Cardinals find themselves sitting atop this this jumbled mess, but that's better than not being atop the jumbled mess. So we are in position for sure, and it's something that has eluded us the last 4 years, so let's hope our Cardinals can pull this thing out. But to find out if, how, and when, and of course we know they're going to hold on to this lead, but let's find out how we're going to do it and welcome in everybody's favorite on the M4byYachty.com hotline, my man Benji Molina. What's going on, buddy?
What's going on, guys? What's going on, man? You've been lost.
Yeah, well, it's I'm back 2 weeks in a row, man. Let me tell you, it's after you spend 3 weeks on the West Coast, it's hard to come into work every day. No, I'm just kidding. It's actually
hey,
nice.
And I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask you about San Francisco, because for me, San Francisco is one of the most beautiful cities, right?
Unbelievable.
For me, San Francisco,
unreal.
It's a picture frame everywhere you take a picture. It's unbelievable, beautiful. My daughter was born there in Walnut Creek. We hang out all over. We stay by the marina, right next to the golden, to the other gate, you know. And,
oh, by Sausalito?
Yeah, Sausalito. We went to the restaurant Fish.
Yeah.
That I meant to tell you to go, but I forgot about it. But I've been having some troubles here, but in my mind, it's not with me. But anyways, I'm glad you have fun, man. I'm glad you guys have fun over there.
Well, Sausalito is an unbelievably beautiful little area, and it's just it's almost unimaginable that it exists. But I got to tell you, I mean, I felt the presence of Benji. I mean, everywhere I walked, I would tell people what I do, and they all know who Benji Molina is. So you are an iconic figure in San Francisco, my friend.
Hey, I had my best three of my best years of baseball in numbers wise in San Francisco. I could have won two Gold Gloves. I could have gone to three All-Star games if it wasn't for obviously the managers that were there, because they picked their own players, you know.
Right.
So I could have gone if it was by number. So I had my best 3 years on a losing team. Remember, I played behind Barry Bonds.
Right.
I hit behind Barry Bonds 1 year, and then after that, Barry was gone, and I was the fourth batter in the Giants, in San Francisco Giants team. Not just any team. The Giants, man, the Willie Mays Giants, the McCoveys, and Cepeda. I mean, I was the fourth batter for two more years, and I had great years. I had my best 3 years of baseball were there, you know?
I've said 100 times over, and you hit 19 home runs and 20 home runs in San Francisco, and for a right-handed hitter, that's pretty good.
And I had good average, very high average, and remember, I don't run. I can't run.
Right.
So
you do have three career stolen bases, though.
No, I probably got more than that.
No, it's three. I'm looking at it right now. You have three career stolen bases.
Come on, man. It has to be more.
I'm telling you.
Your computer is broke.
Let me tell you, you're a career 274 hitter, which is pretty good.
Yeah, but the 274 went down the last year when I couldn't. I got hit in the elbow and I couldn't swing the bat. But anyways, it's all right. 274, I'll take it. You know, 13 and a half seasons in the big leagues. So
for sure,
I'll take that anytime. And but I Jimbo, I had good years, man. I could hit and I could catch and I helped. You know what? The biggest thing is for me, I helped so many players. So many. I helped them out and I put my brain into helping them and try to get them into good players out there and respect the game and all that. So that for me is more important than just, you know, just having good years. But on a losing team, I was having great years in my and 3 years in a row. And then the fans started getting kind of nasty with me, you know, asking for Buster Posey and,
sure.
You know, I don't know. But that's okay.
Yeah, 95 RBIs in 08. 95 RBIs in 08. You hit 292 with 95 RBIs and 16 homers in San Francisco for a right-handed hitter. That's a good season, man.
And nobody talked about me. Nobody said a word what I was doing because we were a losing team.
Yeah.
So I was just doing it, and nobody else had very much good years, you know, like that, just me. But when the time came to be done and they don't need you anymore, they just throw you out the curve, buddy, and then there you go. But it's okay. I'll take it. But I had my best years there. So that's what I'm saying. Like, San Francisco is beautiful. The fans, when you're doing good, they're awesome, you know. And let me tell you, when I went back in the World Series in 2010, I went back to play San Francisco. They gave me a standing ovation that lasted a while. And almost, you know, I got tears in my eyes, you know, respecting those fans, you know.
Yeah, it's a, like I said, it's an interesting, it's a beautiful city. Like I said, and it is interesting, like I was there for a couple of days before everybody got there, and I would tell people, and I had a Cardinal shirt on one day, and people would just talk about it, and it's a beautiful stadium and all this kind of stuff, and I would tell people, and people remember you and talk about you, and it was great. It's a beautiful city, and I appreciate you bringing it up, but I got to tell you, it's the whole place, everywhere we went was beautiful out in California, but there is no place like home. And
did you go to Napa Valley?
I did go to Napa Valley, yes. Yes, I did.
That's nice out there, man. And that's nice for the wine and all that country.
It's nice, but no place like home, like I said. And now the Cardinals are going to get a little no place like home and come home to – I don't know what you're thinking, but, you know, this is an opportunity for the Cardinals to distance themselves a little bit from the Brewers. You know – anytime you're in first place, which I think they're tied actually with the Cubs technically, so I think anytime you play somebody that's close to you, you have to take advantage of that opportunity. And now we're going to play the Brewers, and I think we're going to play them twice within the next like week and a half or something. But this is an opportunity.
Well, that's perfect, buddy.
Sure,
that's perfect.
You know, for a team that's, you know, really, I like the Brewers. You know, I think a lot of people were expecting the Brewers to kind of catch fire and run away with this. They're a minus 29 in run differential. They just can't pitch. And
they can pitch, and the Cardinals have to take advantage of that. But we've seen how that works sometimes here, where where you can't, we get a pitcher that has been getting lit up everywhere else, and they come here and then they shut us down. So I don't want to even think about that anymore, you know. I don't want to even think of that. But yeah, you're right, man. They need to take care of these. They need to take advantage of the opportunity that the Brewers bring. And no matter who, obviously you got to win every game you can, but at least the Brewers, and you know, you have to do whatever you can to do that.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. And like I said, I you know, the Cardinals, you know, they go into Cincinnati, and you know, we split with them in a 4-game series. It was an interesting weekend, of course, but you know, they still find themselves where they're at, and you know, it's gonna be a dogfight to the end here, I think. But the Brewers, you know, we've looked at them the last couple of years, and don't get me wrong, I mean, I much prefer to play them at Busch Stadium than at their home park, which is just a launching pad. So, led obviously by Christian Yelich, who everybody loves and everybody wishes the Cardinals would have got, but whatever, we don't have him. And what we do
now,
have,
they wish him now because they know what he's done.
Yeah,
they didn't wish him over there. They wanted the power of Marcel. They wanted the average of Marcel. They wanted the 100 RBIs of Marcel. But now, since they who he is, and let me tell you this, Jimbo, he's not a bad hitter, Yelich. He's a great hitter, MVP and all that. He plays in a friendly park. We were discussing this the other day. When you have a Cardinal hitting 25 home runs in Busch Stadium for a year, it's pretty good, because that 25 will translate to 40 in over there in Milwaukee, or 40 in Wrigley Field, and everybody's getting credit for 35 homers in Wrigley Field. But you put some of these guys here in Wrigley all year, or you put these guys in Milwaukee being the home field, 81 games in Milwaukee, or in the rec, and you put him out there, all of a sudden 35 seems short. They're going to hit 40. These same guys that you see here, you know how many times I have seen during the games that the ball reach the warning track against the wall for a double or even an out? Those are home runs in Milwaukee. Those are home runs in Wrigley, and those are home runs in the red. So why, if Brian hit 32 homers, 35 homers, why is it better than 25 in Busch Stadium? For me, it's not. They have the field, 265 down in the middle in the gap. Come on, man. Here's like 290, 285. There's no chance, man. So for me, 25 to 26, 27 home runs playing all year here in Busch Stadium. Go ask Goldsmith. He has 27, 28 or something like that home runs. Go ask him. He 28 home runs, and he has easily could have 35 by now. That's why I don't understand why. Oh yeah, he hit 35 home runs. Okay, you're playing Wrigley. You should hit 35 home runs. Now come to Busch Stadium and try to hit 35 home runs in a year, and see how good luck you'll be. Go to Pittsburgh, where that left field is so long for the right-handers. Go over there and try to hit 35 home runs and see how it goes. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing for people. I was looking at Yelich's stats. His splits, he obviously has more home runs at home than he does on the road, but still impressive. I mean, his average is still up there, whether it's home or away. But the guy's a good player. But
he's a good player, but I'm saying the confidence that the ballpark brings you.
For sure.
Because remember, here in Busch, a right-hander cannot try to hit a homer the other way, because it's so tough to hit the ball the other way for a home run. If you do, it's because you caught a fastball up and away, and you just, you know, like you catch it up and away, and the ball goes.
Right.
But it's not easy as you go into Cincinnati and the Brewers and the Cubs, and you go, and you know, your confidence as a hitter that you can hit everywhere on the field. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
The confidence as a hitter changes when you play on the big field. Like when people came to San Francisco, I bet you anything, they told me, they were talking about the whole field, like, how do you guys hit here? Wow, this is tough. This is tough. Oh, wow, this field sucks. How do you guys play here 81 games? And I'm inside of me, I'm like, dude, I play here 81 games. I play here 81 games. Where do you play? Oh, yeah, you play. Hold on. You're playing Wrigley? Oh, wow. Oh, you're playing Cincinnati? Oh, man. I wish I was there. Oh, you're playing Yankee Stadium. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
The confidence of the hitter changes when you play in those big fields.
You know, speaking of confidence, and I'm glad you brought that up, there's been some young influx of talent here the last couple weeks to come up on the roster and do some amazing things. We talked about Lane Thomas. I think the coaching staff seems to really like Tommy Edman. Azarena, they got a couple of starts. There's been some fan outcry about Azarena not coming up and playing right away. And I think that the thought process is if a guy's that hot and that on fire in the minors, knowing how hard it is to get that hot, why not play him right away up here? I guess that would be part of the confidence thing, right? So would you have played him right away and just let him play for a few games and see if you can catch some of that spark?
Yeah, I would have, of course. I mean, they play beta for 2 months, right?
Yeah.
Why not him? He's been crushing it. Why not him? And let me see what he has now that we have the opportunity to see what these kids can do.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I said, I like some of the young players, and it seems like, they like Edman, which, fine. Doesn't matter to me who they like. But, it seems like, again, and I mean, I don't want to turn this into a crazy discussion, but, man, the one guy, like, I'm okay if they want to play him. That's fine. But the guys that keep coming out of the lineup, in my opinion, are the wrong guys. I mean, how much long? Like, I hate to say this, but I mean, are they just going to jam Carpenter down our throat because they paid him? I mean, I guess that's what this has come to. There's no way, in my opinion, he should be in a starting lineup right now. No way.
And no, but they're going to die with him because they think he could get hot for a month or two like he did last year.
And he could, I guess.
And he could, and we want him to.
Right.
We want him to. But what he's showing you is not signs of getting hot. But in their head, Jimbo, they're trying to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think for the fans, the question is, I hate to say this, and I guess maybe I am speaking for people. I guess if I believed in my heart that's truly what it was, like they truly felt like we've all seen what he can do for a month or two, and we need it if we're going to do this. If I believed in my heart that was it, I could almost get behind it. I just have a hard time not believing that it's the money. It just feels, it's got that stench of, look, we paid him. Now we have to play him. Not only have we paid him in the past, now we went and signed him to an extension for what reason, I have no idea. But it's almost like he's going to play, and that's just all there is to it. And again, as evidenced by the fact that I don't think he really did anything in the minors to deserve to come back up, except for the fact that it's his right to. So, he can only stay down there for so long, and then he has the right to, as a veteran, right, to come up. So, I don't know. It's crazy.
I know, but I told you a million times, man. I said it. You know, if they believe in their head that this kid is going to do this at some point, and they believe it, we're going to have to eat him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're going to have to take him, and we're going to have to see him in the lineup. That's just bottom line, Jimbo. I really do believe that's how it was. Like for example, the Bader factor. You tell me where Bader was going to play 2 months hitting 150. Where? In another team. Find me another team that would give him a chance hitting 150, okay, for 2 months, where in another team he was going to get that chance. Where? Which one? And go to Baltimore if you want. I bet you anything in Baltimore he wouldn't play. I bet you anything in Kansas City he wouldn't play. But they thought and they said in their head that, okay, at some point he's going to catch fire. At some point, you can't do that in the major leagues. You can't do it. You cannot do it. When you come to the major league, you have to do it. you as a player, I'm talking. You have to do it. You have to be a doer when you come to the big leagues. And if you're not a doer, somebody else has to be a doer, because we need to win the game and the game to make it to playoff, and that way go into to a World Series.
Yeah, it's
I don't get it how these guys are thinking here. And I love these guys, believe me. I have much respect for them. They do great things. But I just don't know about the baseball side of it, because they don't show the fans, they're not showing many people that they're thinking of the players, you know, like the team. Because you have Matt Carpenter struggling for so long, man. So long, and they still hoping, and we are too, because I'm hoping that he turns it up, and I'm hoping that he goes on a tear the last 2 months so that he can help us out. I am hoping, but it's tough to watch it every single day trying to wait for that to happen. We have Bader's in that situation. We had many guys coming in and playing as an instructional league, man. This is not instructional. This is the St. Louis Cardinals, man. You need to find players who do it on an everyday basis. Forget about stars, or if you don't want to call them all-stars, I don't care, but just find guys that could do it on an everyday basis for you, you know?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because I'm looking at the players in general and some of the stats and stuff, and trying to figure out, you know, where I would hang my hat on this team. And, you know, some guys have warmed up, of course. I mean, I would say Paul Goldschmidt's warmed up. The home runs are starting to fly. You know, starting to drive in runs. Marcell Ozuna's back and healthy. Colton Wong has obviously turned his turned it around for sure, which is nice.
Colton Wong is a little easier, right? Because if he can hit 250, 260, and then he can play the defense he is, we got to have other guys, right? I mean, we can have the other guys step up, like Ozuna, Goldschmidt, Paul DeJong, Yadi, and we can have all those guys step up. And then the 260, the 250, which is very good, by the way, and the steals and the defense that he brings, maybe nobody can see any other low. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah,
but,
I mean,
but when you're counting on him and Bader at the bottom of the lineup to win games, that's when it doesn't add up.
Yeah, so if you, like I said, and the best part right now is you're starting to see the home runs from Goldschmidt. Paul DeJong was struggling for quite some time. Maybe he's coming out of a little bit. Hopefully with Ozuna coming back. You know, we've kind of had the up and down season. You know, Fowler's been kind of up and down, and maybe he's finding his rhythm back in the leadoff spot. I don't know. I mean, they're kind of playing around with it, which I'm okay with. But, you know, getting a little bit of help from some of these young players, there's nothing wrong with that, and I'm anxious to see where it goes. But I think when it comes down to it, and I don't know your thoughts on this, but I guess if I was to have to look at one thing on here and decide if I think this is where this is going to go, I'm gonna have to look at the pitching. I just am, because I think that's where this thing is either going to take off for us or it's gonna hurt us. And the one name that I got to throw out there, listen, Jack Flaherty's been great. Dakota Hudson has been good. I mean, I know there's been, you know, maybe a couple of
games.
He
was great. He was great. Now he's just good. You know what I mean? Like, he's good.
You know, Wainwright's been better than people thought he would be. I mean, I know he's had a couple of rough outings, but for the most part, Wainwright's won you some, you know, went out and pitched some really big games for you this year.
I think Wainwright has been great. I'll put the grade on Wainwright, because nobody expected this from him. Everybody expected him to fail so bad and being old and he cannot handle the load and whatever. Everybody. So, for him to be doing what he's doing right now, shoot, get the heck out of here. This is great for me.
Yeah, I think in the end, it's going to come down, and this is just my opinion, and I'm going to throw these two names at you. I'm going to let you think about them. I'm going to throw two names at you and give you, you know, the 2 or 3 minutes that it takes me to do our stuff here. I'm going to give you some time to think about your thoughts on these two gentlemen and how important they're going to be, really, in all essence, over the next month. because month and a half, whatever it is, because I think in the end, these are the two it's going to come down to. And those two names are Miles Michaelis and Carlos Martinez. So you give a little thought to those two names. And I'll remind everybody to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show there. It is free. Happy to have everybody join us and engage in the show as well at any level that you would love. Check out our Two Birds bloggers there as well. They do a great job. They help get the word out about the show. We appreciate everything they do for us. And, you know, they take a lot of time out of their own personal schedule to try to inform people and give basic opinion pieces on our beloved Cardinals. So that's twobirdsonabat.com. Find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. If you're a Cardinal fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back as well. Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show, follow us there. And, of course, we're always pushing Facebook. It's a great community place to have conversations and bring up subjects and talk about them and, of course, promote the show. You can do so by typing in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our page. Click invite your friends. When you see the pinned post, that's the latest show. Make sure you like it, comment on it, and share it. That means a lot to us as it helps us reach more people. You can also find us at lineupmedia.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it today. I know you guys will enjoy it. Can't say enough about the people that help us keep this show on the air. You heard me talk about Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com, our great friends over at Patty O's, and, of course, M4byYachty.com, the wonderful stuff that Yachty does with his company and where the money goes is tremendous. But don't forget our friends at Gators Baseball Academy, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. You can learn more about their wonderful program over in Missouri and now over in Illinois as well. Tons of great training options for people in this offseason and always looking for talented players if you'd like a private tryout. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Their four-pillar system is second to none, folks. Our friend DrKristenJacobs.com wants to remind you, of course, that every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. She does so much for so many people with her wonderful Ooh La La Spa and Anti-Aging and Wellness Center. Check out all her great stuff at DrKristenJacobs.com. I want to thank her for all the stuff that she's done for us and the constant reminder that we do need to take care of our skin. It's ours, after all, and you better take care of it because you only get one. So thank you so much, Dr. Jacobs. And, of course, our good friend Mike over at Adam's Smokehouse. I get hungry just thinking about it. Located on Watson Road. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. They do big box lunch orders. They deliver to certain zip codes. If you want catering options, give them a call as well. No better barbecue in St. Louis, folks. We love them. Great atmosphere. Again, you can get it to go. You can do the box lunches or the catering, but we encourage you to go check out the atmosphere over at their wonderful place of business. You're going to get that feel when you walk in the door. You can just tell when the smell kind of hits you when you walk in that you're in for a treat. Say hi to Mike and all the gang over there for us. That's Adam's Smokehouse on Watson Road, St. Louis. Here's your cue. Well, Mr. Molina, the more I look at this, Miles Michaelis has got to be better. He just does. And I'm not blaming anything on Carlos Martinez. He's been put in a role that, you know, it's just he dealt with some injury, you know, sucked it up, came back in a role that they felt they could get him into so that he could contribute this season. You know, I guess with Martinez, my question is, and I guess it would be an opinion from you, you know, is he 100%? And, you know, if you're not 100% in anything in baseball, it's tough to go out and be dominant. And you need your closer to be dominant. So is he fighting an uphill battle? And then what is the one thing that we need out of Michaelis that in the end is going to help him? I mean, I guess if Jack Flaherty is going to be your number one, you need Michaelis to be your number two then. So let's start with Michaelis. What are you seeing from him that you think's got to be better compared to last year? Because last year he was obviously so good. What's the difference this year for him?
I think thrown strikes, you know, and he does. He doesn't walk anybody. That's not what I mean. What I mean is hitting the spots, like hitting the corners. Because remember, last year he didn't miss any corners. It looked like, to me, like it was his year, and that's it. You know, like he had a great year. He didn't miss corners. He got jammed. A lot of people, he got quick out. Now you see him getting into a 3-2 counts a lot. It's because he's either right down the middle or a ball. And you can tell and you can ask anybody, any pitcher in the league, and what do they think about the middle or ball situation. They'll tell you they're going to struggle. And that's what I only thing I see. I'm not saying he's throwing ball. I'm just saying he's getting so far behind in the count sometimes that he has to not be so perfect with the pitch, and he ends up being in the middle. That's all I'm saying, right? So I think it's more of hitting the spots in the corner more efficiently on certain times, and he paid for it. That's just how it is. On Carlos, I had a chance to talk to him a few times in the clubhouse. He's not used to pitching every day, right? He's not a reliever. He's done it, but he's done one time, maybe 2 days in a row, and then sit down, get a day or something. He's pitched quite a bit since I've seen him. I mean, obviously at home when we do the games. Sometimes 3 days in a row, sometimes 4 days in a row. So I think he's adjusting to it. I think his arm, he'll tell you, he's like, man, if he gave me the ball, I'm going to go out there and try to shut him down. That's all I want. Shut him down. And that's his attitude. So, but you have to be really honest with them. You have to be really honest with the pitching. You have to be really honest with how they feel. Pitching first, it's like pitching the second inning, Jimbo. You put Brevia to a first inning and he shut him down, 1, 2, 3. And then you're asking him to throw a second inning because the game is close. And then he gives up 2 runs. And now everybody's looking at him like, oh, shoot, he sucks. He gave it up. Well, shoot, seriously? You're going to say that after he just threw you the first inning great? You know what I'm saying? So it's the same with Carlos. When you put him the first game that he's coming back from a day off, great. Now the second game, he's going to be a less effective. Third game, even more. Fourth game, it's normal. He's not going to have his all-in game, you know, because it's the fourth game that he pitched. So I think we need both of those guys if we want to make it far in the playoff, and if we want to make it, first of all, if we want to make it to the playoff. But if we want to make it far, we need those two guys, man. We really do need them. And they will. They'll be there, and then they'll find a way. And Michael is going to be there when it counts. You watch.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing for me with Martinez is it is different. I mean, I don't expect everybody to agree or whatever or understand, but it is different.
Plus his mindset is to start.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. I mean, I would say this. I mean, most guys, I mean, let's face it. He's not going to come out and say, I don't want to be the closer. I mean, he's going to say, look, I'm going to do whatever they need me to do. And my assumption would be the powers that be came to him and said, look, if you're going to help us this year, it's going to be in the bullpen just because of the timing of your injury and how long it would take you to get back. Plus, they had a need, right? I mean, things just weren't going well. Hicks goes down. They had a need. And, you know, we can all discuss the need and how it could have been handled or whatever. I don't even care to be quite frank with you. In the end, you know, could they have signed somebody and then got him ready as a starter? Maybe. I don't know the extent of what's wrong with him and where he's at, but that would be for him to know.
I would take him as a starter. If there's nothing wrong with him, right?
Yeah,
I would take him and see what he can do. Obviously, he'll have to be watched. I mean, if he doesn't do well and it doesn't work, you know, then it doesn't work. But at least you give it a try, though, right?
You would think, yeah. I mean, my thing is this with him. I appreciate him doing whatever he's got to do for the team. Anybody. I do that with anybody. Like, even Matt Carpenter, for the longest time, people would get upset about him here, him there, and I would say, listen, you can bag on Matt Carpenter all you want, but all he's done is play where they've asked him to play. You know, he didn't go to anybody and say, I have to play here, I'm only going to play here. Every year they came to him and said, now we're going to move you here, and now we're going to move you here, and all the guy did was go work on it, show up early to spring training, work all winter, show up early, work on a position, and then we bag on him as a fan because he's not as good defensively as we would like him to be. Whose fault is that? You know,
he's a little bit different, Jimbo, because he only hits, right? The defense he does is good. His hands are good. When it's hit right to him, he doesn't have too much range. He doesn't have a good arm to be playing third.
Sure.
But he's doing it, like you said, to his credit. You know, he's helping us out there. But how is he helping us out? I want to know. I want somebody to tell me what is it that he's helping us out? And I know he catches everything in front of him. I get it. It's okay. He's a veteran. But what he's here for is his hitting, right? That's what he's for. But he's not hitting right now. It's the same as Martinez. Jose Martinez, when you put him in the right field, you're like, what is that guy doing there? Because a lot of people said that. What is that guy doing there? Well, he can hit. And now that he's not hitting, now what do? You can't put him out there because he's not a fielder, right? This is what people are saying. You can't put him out there because obviously he's not a fielder. So now he cannot hit. So what happens? So it's the same with Carpenter. He's a hitter. That's why he's playing third. That's why he's playing second. That's why he goes to first, because we need him in the lineup. Why? Because he's a hitter.
Right.
Well, what happens when he doesn't hit? Where does he play? Where does he go? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, I would say, again, for me, it's going to come down to those two guys. It's going to come down to Michaelis and Carlos Martinez. If the Cardinals can put themselves in a position to win late in games, for a while now it's been bullpen, which the bullpen has been better, for sure. I would have to say there's been some guys really step up out in the bullpen for sure.
But we got to give him credit, though. The bullpen has really pitched well.
Sure,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, Gallego's throwing well.
Absolutely.
Gant's going to slow down. There's no
secret
to it. It's late August, man. And he's been worn out quite a few times here in the early going. So, you know, they're going to be feeling that way, right? So,
yeah, for sure.
The bullpen has been great. I like the bullpen. You know what? One of the guys that surprised me really a lot was Tyler Webb. The way that he started off the season, nobody even thought he could be in the roster. Everybody's like, what the heck is this guy doing here? And all of a sudden, man, he's one of your guys out there. ERA 350, pitching all year. All year, pitching out of the bullpen, losing and winning by a lot. And he's a 350 or something like that. ERA, come on, man. We got to give him credit. So there's a few guys out there that battle their butt. Even Brevia. Brevia was untouchable for a little bit until they started using him for two innings. When they started using him for two innings, that's when his arm started to slow down. Wouldn't your arm start to slow down if you were used that way?
Yeah.
Of course, these guys pitch every day, man. These guys pitch every day. So I'm down with the bullpen. I know they've been doing such a good job all year, man. But I'm with you. If you're going to win this thing, if you're going to go to a playoff, Michaelis needs to pick it up. And we need Carlos, you know, to feel great. Obviously, he's doing good, but, you know, we need him in the back end.
Yeah, it's a those are the guys it's going to come down to for me. I mean, in the end, that's how I'm viewing this thing because, you're going to have somebody else besides – you know, besides Flaherty step up. And, you know, you look at the – don't get me wrong. I mean, you count people for what they are, but you got to be realistic. And Dakota Hudson's awful young, right? Like, we're not 100% sure who he is. And Adam Wainwright, you know, he's been doing well despite the old father time argument. But, you know, I look at, the guy that – you know, this is something interesting for me, and you know, I'll kind of get your thoughts on it. And I've always wondered this. If you look at Michaelis, and this is the interesting thing for me, and this is the last thing I want to ask you about, because this comes up a lot. It gets talked about with Adam Wainwright a lot, his starts at home versus his starts on the road. We've talked about the fact that Busch Stadium is a true ballpark. It's not a hitter-friendly park. It's a fair ballpark. That's the issue for me, is that if you look at Michaelis, much, much different pitcher at home than he is on the road. It's a huge difference, really, to be quite honest with you. So my question to you is this: is it the same way for a pitcher? I mean, is it possible that it's a confidence thing for him as well?
Of course, man. Of course. You're used to, remember, Jimbo, you pitch a lot at home. You pitch a lot at home. You have 81 games at home. Let's say a divisional rival. How many times you go to Chicago? Three times. That's three times that you pitch in that mound. And sometimes you don't even pitch in that series. So that's three times that you pitch on that mound, on that background, on the catcher, and it might feel like the background might feel like too big for you, or too long, the mound is not that good, or you're slipping every time you do this. You see? Or you go to L.A. one time a year, and you're going to pitch in L.A. one time a year. And then you keep going on and on. You go to Yankee Stadium, and you're going to pitch in that mound for one time only. So it's really difficult to adjust to that, because you don't have anything to adjust. When you are here, you pitch here out of the 35 times, you probably pitch here 15 times at home. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's easier to get adjust here to your mound, to what you do a lot, instead of when you go to maybe Cincinnati, you do it three times. And then you go to Atlanta one time. You might not even pitch there. But you go to Atlanta and that mound doesn't feel right to you, and you got to suck it up and pitch.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
So, of course, it could happen. Of course, the home and away feel could happen because of those things.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because I'm sitting here looking at it and I'm trying to figure out, like, is it all mental? Is it true? Is it something that's true? Like, you're not going to get away from the fact that the numbers show you that there's something to it, right? Like, you can't argue it. I mean, there's something to it. And
I bet you anything, Jimbo, it could be that mound. It could be, because I was with guys that when we went to Toronto, they hated the mound, right? And we went to Toronto one time. And when I was playing with the Giants, and I had Matt Cain, or I had Lincecum, and I had Jonathan Sanchez, all those guys, when we went to a place that we went one time, they come to the dugout. I was like, man, this mound sucks. And they had to work through it. That's why one of the reasons why I'm telling you that it could happen, you know, the home and away. Because away, you only go there. Like, if you go to Houston, you go there for one time. You don't play them. Like, Houston came here to St. Louis one time. That's it. We didn't go there.
Yeah.
So Bert Verlander and all these guys have to get adjusted to our mound. So I'm not saying they cannot do it. I'm saying that could be one of the reasons why they have this big old separation, right?
Yeah.
Plus, yeah, every team should play better at home too.
Yeah, that's it's, you would think and you would hope, you know, but again, I'm going to try to figure out, you know, how we get this thing where it needs to go, I guess, for lack of a better description. So for me, I'm going to say, if we can get more out of Michaelis, if we can get Carlos Martinez to button up that closer role, I like our chances, because we got some guys that are starting to play right now. I like the young guys. You know, like most fans, would I play a couple of them a little more? I probably would. I think there's a way to get creative with this lineup. The problem is, if you're going to get creative with the lineup, you're probably going to have to be a little firmer with who sits. And I think you brought up the point. And I think a lot of people are fed up. I mean, I'm just being honest. The pulse of the fans are, I think they're kind of fed up with Matt Carpenter. I think.
Well, also, who gives you the better chance to win, Jimbo? That's what needs to be in Mike Shields' mind right now. This is a month and a half season, right? It becomes to a month and a half season. Who gives me the better chance? A Bader hitting 150, and I'm sorry to be picking up on Bader. I like Bader and I love the guy, but I'm just giving you an example, right? So. Yeah. Do you want to put Bader with 150 in the lineup? Do you want to put Carpenter struggling in the lineup when you only have a month and a half of season left and you are tied for first place? That's what I mean. The manager needs to look up and say, listen, we gave these guys a chance. They're just struggling this year. Let me see what I can do with this guy. The catching situation is different because obviously obviously you think the guy behind the play is going to manage the pitching, right? And I get it to you. You put whoever you think is going to help you out with the pitching and all that stuff. I get it. But right. But the all around the field, who gives me the better chance to win that day? And if you're honest with yourself, some of those guys don't give you the best chance. So we'll see. That's the biggest thing that Mike Chiel has in his head right now.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, it's we have meaningful baseball late in the year. We have an opportunity in front of us, but you know the interesting thing is, you know, it could go either way because it's so jumbled, and that makes it exciting. And for a fan, that's really all you can want is for your team to be in it in the end. Now, obviously, I think a meaningful playoff. I always say meaningful games in October. There's nothing like it in St. Louis. Obviously, a one-game playoff as a wild card, you know, you would like
that
to be assured. Yeah.
That for me doesn't feel like a playoff, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. That just seems like a do-or-die. It seems like what it is, you know, just intense, do-or-die, let's try to get in.
You could also win the World Series by going to
Oh, back. Sure, sure.
I get it. I
Absolutely.
Get it. But I'm saying, as a player, you don't feel like that's a playoff, right?
Well, you want to win the division. I mean, let's be honest. You want to win the division, you know? I mean, that's the bottom line. You want to win the division. So that's as a fan, what I'm hoping for is to win the division. That means that you're truly in and you get to have a real opportunity at winning a series and moving on. And for me, that's what I want. So it's right there for us, in my opinion, for the taking. I think it's possible. I think we can do it. But
dude,
we shall
see.
We're
in first place. We're in first place, and with a month and a half to go, man.
Well, like I said, like to win the division. That's all I can say. That's the big thing for me is win the division. It's a little more than just getting in for me. So anxious to hear some of your thoughts, Cardinal fans out there. You know, is just getting in enough for you? Is that enough for you? I mean, has it been that way that you personally are happy just to have a playoff game of some sort with your St. Louis Cardinals? Or if they don't win the division, will you feel like it was a little bit of a lost opportunity? We could hear from you guys on that. You know, I'll take – personally, I just want a meaningful game. Of course, I want the division, but, man, it would feel better. But I'll take a meaningful game for sure. But let's hear from you guys, and let's hear what you have to say. For me, the keys are going to be Michaelis and Martinez. We shall see how that plays out. I want to thank my good friend Benji Molina for joining us on the M4byYachty.com hotline. Lots of great things happening over the next month and a half of the season. Excited to be a part of it as well. Want to thank our good friend Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com one last time. Mike over at...
Hey, we need to take Randy out to eat, man.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm going to give him a shout today, actually, and say, hey, let's do this. So happy to have him involved as well. Let's talk about our good friend Mike over at Adam Smokehouse. That's always a great place to do it. So check him out on Watson Road one last time. That's our friends over at Adams, St. Louis. Here's your cue. DrKristenJacobs.com and all the wonderful things she does for people. Make sure you check them out. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com as well. M4byYachty.com. Thank you for bringing Benji to us each and every show. To our friends at lineupmedia.fm, home of Yo Radio, thank you for your support. And, of course, we're Two Birds on a Bat. TwoBirdsOnABat.com. Subscribe to the show at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. And, of course, Two Birds on a Bat on Facebook. For all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat, let's go, Birds!
Go, Bird!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.